Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. I'm inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad that you joined us today. And we do pray earnestly that through these broadcasts that you may be abundantly blessed of the Lord today. Praise God. I believe that God's Word has the power and potential to save, deliver, set free if it's received. I know it has power to bring forth fruit in your life, as it is written, 30, 60, and 100 fold to the glory of God. And we're just so privileged today to share the Word of God with you that we're just excited when we come to this microphone knowing that God is going to take His Word and He's going to send it where He wants it, and it's going to find a target in the human heart. Hallelujah. So if you're human today, God's target is your heart. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, we would like to invite you to come to our website while we have this opportunity. You can download recent editions of Let's Talk About Jesus and sermons that span the years, preached live at the Holy Church of God here in Tampa. We're an independent Assembly of God affiliated since 1974, and we're so grateful to be part of God's great family. We all have, for the sake of structure and accountability, we have denominational or organizational affiliations, but ultimately we are the all who have come to know Jesus, the children of God. Hallelujah. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We're going to live in heaven forever with Him together. So we need to start getting along down here, practicing up for heaven. Praise God. Amen. So we welcome you, regardless of your denominational or organizational affiliation. If you believe the Bible to be the inerrant, inspired Word of God, and you believe Jesus Christ to be the mediator between God and man, and you've come to know Him as your personal Savior, you are part of this great, growing family of God. And if you are not a Christian today, we invite you to stay tuned, especially to be our special guest to this broadcast today, as we talk about the very core issues of the Bible. There's a lot of controversial issues that in fact, there's some things we won't know till we get to heaven. My Bible says the earth has been given to man. God made it for man, but the secret things belong to God. There are things, if God told us, we couldn't comprehend it now anyway. But He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness, and that's all we really need to know. How to live in victory here, and to be sure that we're going to spend eternity there, is all we really need to know. Hallelujah. God is a gracious and a good God, and He loves you today. So please stay tuned to this broadcast. We're going to talk about a great subject today. We're going to talk about the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. We're taking our title of our teaching from that great camp meeting song, There's Power in the Blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Praise God. Well, we're going to talk about that today and see why there is so much power in the shed blood of Jesus, what it accomplished in our behalf, why Christians sing about it, amen, real Christians that is, and why the devil is so afraid of it. Praise God, that he tries to suppress and distract from the very message that it brings our heart. It is a message of hope, a message of faith, a message that gives us courage to live our lives in full confidence and assurance. And you don't want to miss this message today. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. Rediscovering that power is what we are centered on in this teaching today. I want to read very quickly from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19 as our foundational scripture. A very, very familiar passage of scripture. Before we do, I would like to invite you to come to to our website. There are sermons there. There are our recent editions, as I said, of Let's Talk About Jesus. Just type in THCOG. THCOG. That stands for The Holy Church of God, right here in Tampa, Florida. And my name, of course, is Pastor Evangelist Robert A. Venable. Venable. We'd be so happy to have you come and visit. Everything is free. We've freely received. We're freely giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will receive it today. Hallelujah. Well, having said that, let's read from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 20, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. I make no mistake about it today, friend. God gave His Son to die on the cross for you. And Jesus Christ was not an afterthought. God's plan of salvation was put in place from the foundation of the world. You can't give man a free will and not take the risk that he will abuse that free will and choose sin over righteousness. But if he does, God has provided a safety net. And that safety net is none other than Jesus and his blood sacrifice on the cross. Today, this wonderful message of hope is so powerfully important to us in our circumstances, regardless of who you are, where you are. You need and must be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the power of that event when we receive Christ as our Savior. The blood of Jesus is applied spiritually to our life. And I want you to know it is a life changing washing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me make some references here. Read you some statistics, rather. And I'm glad someone else did the homework for me. Someone said there are 290 New Testament references to the love of God. And there are over 1,300 New Testament references to the atonement. God's work at the cross. The blood is used repeatedly from cover to cover over 400 times. D.L. Moody put it this way. He said, I do not believe that there is a word in the Bible that Satan fears more than the word blood. Now, I would add to that the name that he fears, the name that he fears above everything else is the mighty name of Jesus Christ. But the word that he fears in the Bible is the blood, because he clearly understands it represents man's salvation and his defeat. Praise God. You know, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 12, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down, that accused them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto the death. But all of that begins with the shed blood of Jesus. We talk about pleading the blood of Jesus. All that means claiming and proclaiming all of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. There is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to bring life. Leviticus 17 and verse 11 speaks of the life of our flesh being in the blood in our veins. Verse 11 said, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is in the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Friend, I'm not a doctor, but I know enough to know that blood brings health to the body. blood acts within us as a river of life. Every one of our 100 trillion cells receives a continuous supply of blood. Blood acts within us to bring us oxygen, nitrogen, sodium, potassium, calcium, sugars, and hormones, and through the blood. In return, the blood removes all waste and inert chemicals from the body. Our blood vessels end to end, and I had to look this up, can stretch for 60,000 miles. Praise God. Each drop of blood on the way back to the heart and kidneys is purifying us, inwardly cleansing us. I'm going to say it again, whether we're talking about the literal blood in our bodies or the spiritual application of the blood of Jesus to our lives. The blood is powerful. Amen. And if the blood supply to the brain is restricted even for a little time, irreversible damage can be caused to brain cells. As the blood circulates, it keeps the body healthy, removing toxins and viruses and sending its version of emergency services racing to an injury or infection. So when we speak of our life's blood, we're talking about a medical and scientific reality. And as believers in Jesus, we have life spiritually through His shed blood applied. Our life, literally, is in the blood. The word blood used throughout the Bible nearly always means a life that has been laid down, a life has been sacrificed. And today, amen, I want to read about that from John 6, 47 through verse 56. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. So this is the bread which comes down from heaven, that if a man would eat thereof, he would not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. The bread that I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." By the way, folks, that didn't go over very well. They didn't comprehend that this was a spiritual partaking of what the broken body and shed blood of Jesus had provided. And the Bible said when he began to talk like that, many turned back. He turned to his own 12. Actually, they all walked away. Amen. And he turned to his own 12 chosen disciples and said, "Well, you leave me too." And they said, "Lord, where can we go? Thou alone has the words of eternal life." There is no road to salvation other than the cross. There is no way to God other than the shed blood of Jesus. And this spiritual partaking of what Jesus has given for us, in effect, His body, His blood on the cross as a sacrifice to redeem us. There's no other way to find redemption. Without the shedding of blood, the Old Testament declares there is no sacrifice for sin. And we were not ransomed with something you can buy, with anything material in this world. We were ransomed not with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Praise God. Hallelujah. The wonderful revelation here in the Word of God is that there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive all of our sin. Listen, think of it today. Power to grant a total forgiveness. power to effect a radical cleansing of the heart. You don't have to get clean to come to God. You come to God to get clean. Hallelujah. Praise God, just as I am. I love that song because that's what it's representative of, coming as you are and letting God, by His Spirit, because of Jesus' sacrifice, apply the blood of Jesus to your life. Power to effect a radical cleansing of the heart. If you change your mind, God, through His Spirit, will change your life. Praise God. Amen. Feel dirty today? You can have absolute purity. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." I started to tell you about that song. At the end of every Billy Graham crusade, you probably heard it. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou biddest me come to Thee, O Lamb of God, I come." Hallelujah. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 1, "As many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." Hallelujah. Friend of mine, you can't change yourself, but you can change your mind. And when you change your mind, you give God permission to change you. If you change your mind about sin today, if you're not a Christian, you can come to Jesus, repent of your sin, and He will come to you. Amen. And not just come to you, friend, He will come within you. This is not just about having Him wipe the slate clean. This is about Him coming to live within you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we wanting a cleansing from guilt? Hallelujah. Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, as the song says. Are we wanting a cleansing from guilt? How would you like to lay down your head tonight without any guilt or condemnation gnawing at you? Praise God. Would you like to feel clean from the inside out, a full cleansing, a complete cleansing from the defilement of sin? You know what Zechariah said in Zechariah 13:1? "There is a fountain opened to cleanse from sin and uncleanness." Friend, the world is dirty as ever, but there's still a fountain flowing for the soul of the unclean. I love that great hymn. "There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners, a plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains." Revelation 1:5 says, "Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood." Hallelujah. Oh, friend, there's nothing like that feeling. I can't explain it to you. Amen. The old-timers said it best. It's better felt than taught. You have to experience this for yourself. But I can tell you this. The morning after coming to know Jesus is not some, "Oh, dear Lord, what have I done? I've come to know Jesus. Now I can't go out and sin like I used to." No. It is, "Why did I wait so long? Why did I think what I was doing in sin was so important and fulfilling, when in reality it left me high and dry, empty and cold, filled with guilt, fearful of the judgment to come?" What a wonderful feeling the first morning after coming to know Christ as your Savior, when you slept like a baby because you knew, amen, if your spirit left your body in that night, your next breath would be in heaven. You woke up knowing you were under God's favor and not under His wrath. You knew that your sins were forgiven. Ah, what a feeling. You wanted to go in and tell somebody, praise God, what happened to you. You wanted to invite them into the kingdom of God so they too could have this experience. Now, some Christians are not representative of that kind of joy and power and peace through the blood of Jesus. They don't know who they are in Jesus, and clearly they don't know who Jesus is in them. But I want you to know, dear friend, that if you get in the Bible and you hear its words, you're going to find out that this is not supposed to be some kind of a religious rigor that puts you in a box and doesn't allow you to enjoy life. This allows you to enjoy it more abundantly because you don't fear death and you don't have to fear the judgment to come, and you know you have God's help for any situation you face. You know that He's going to hear you when you pray. The Holy Spirit is going to come and indwell you. Praise God. Amen. This is not, if you don't like joy, whatever you do, don't come to Jesus. Amen. Well, you come anyway, whether you like it or not, because your soul's on the line. But you know what I'm saying today. I'm saying this is not supposed to be some dead religion. This is life, and that more abundantly. Because Jesus Christ comes to live within us, we can have the assurance that our sins are forgiven. Literally, it said that Christ is in us, the hope of glory in the Bible. That means He's the earnest of our inheritance. He's the down payment on heaven. The Holy Spirit as well, living within us, is the earnest of our inheritance. The reason you put a deposit on a vehicle, that because you don't want someone, or a home, you don't want someone else to buy it out from under you. You have committed yourself to buy this house or this automobile because you have put money down to show that you are in earnest. If you would back out, you would lose your money. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. There's no backing away from God's commitment to save you. He has given His Son, and Jesus has given His life. And to show that God has accepted His sacrifice, He not only forgives your sin, but He cleanses you within to the degree that Christ can come to live within us spiritually. Praise God. And He gives us the wonderful Holy Spirit. And He comes by His Spirit. God Himself comes to live within us. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, "How is it that You will manifest Yourself to us and not unto the world?" They said that when people were scrambling to touch Jesus, to be physically healed or to be blessed, and they were shoving His very disciples aside to get to Jesus, said, "How are You going to be intimate and personal with us? With everywhere we go, people are thronging You." And Jesus said, "If any man love Me and keep My commandments, I and My Father will come to him. And we will enter in to Him and abide with Him forever." Praise God. Hallelujah. Because Jesus is in us, we have the full assurance that our sins are forgiven. 1 Timothy 1:15 said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners." And friend, He did it by the offering of Himself as a sacrifice lamb. Early in the 16th century, England was visited by Erasmus, one of the greatest scholars of the Renaissance. While he was at Cambridge, he made a profound impression on at least one of its scholars, Thomas Bilney. He had been feeling the emptiness of the religion he had been taught. He felt that Erasmus had knowledge of a secret that was hidden from English eyes, and he vowed he would purchase every book that came from the great master's pen. Erasmus had translated the New Testament into Latin, so Bilney purchased a copy of it. He summarized the effect of him upon him after reading the New Testament by saying this, and I want to quote to you today. This is why this Bible study, this exposition of the Word of God, is so important. It's so important if you're a Christian to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church on Sunday. Hallelujah. Here's what he said after reading the New Testament through for the very first time and discovering what it had to say. He said, "My soul was sick, and I longed for peace, but nowhere could I find it. I went to the priest and they appointed me penances and pilgrimages. Yet by these things my soul was not set free. But at last I heard of Jesus. It was then, when first the New Testament was set forth by Erasmus, that the light came. I bought the book, being drawn by the Latin rather than the Word of God, for at that time I knew not what the Word of God meant. On my first reading, I chanced upon these words, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." This one sentence, through God's inward working, did so light up my poor, bruised spirit that the very bones within me leaped for joy and gladness. It was as if, after a long, dark night, day suddenly broke. Praise God, building knew himself to be a sinner, and he trusted Christ to save him. And the indwelling Christ gave him the assurance that his sins were truly forgiven. And he gave his life to unfolding to others the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. Ah, friend, today I want to reiterate to you, there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ to forgive our sin. Praise God. No wonder the devil fears it, and no wonder those that discover this power rejoice with great joy. No wonder we love Jesus with joy unspeakable and full of glory, for he is the one that allowed himself to become a sacrifice lamb in effect, to go to the cross, to suffer and die, not a quick death, but a tortured death. And not only the torturing and the pain, but the shame and the loneliness and the emptiness of dying without his Father's comfort. Friend of mine, no Christian will ever face anything without the promise of the Comforter and the promise of God's comfort. But I tell you, Jesus died as a man forsaken of God, as he took our sins upon himself. And there's power in that love that is represented in every drop of blood that streamed from his body and brow, dripped beneath that old rugged cross. And I want you to know today, that song is not just a hopeful hymn. It is a truth from God's Word that we can plant our feet on, stake our soul on. Amen. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood of Jesus Christ today. And if you don't know him as your personal Savior, I pray you'll make the discovery of the power in the blood to save. Call upon the name of Jesus today in earnestness and true repentance, and God will respond to you, because the ransom for your soul has been paid in full at Calvary, not by silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus. Would you call on him today? Would you cry out to him? Would you receive this gift called salvation that came with such a great price? Ah, but is given to you and offered to you free today. Hallelujah. Come and be saved today. If you're a Christian today, when you go back to church Sunday, make sure you're in a Bible-believing church. Make sure you're discovering in the Word of God the power of the blood. Make sure you're rejoicing in your salvation. Praise God. We love you today. Pray you'll come back next week. Let's talk about Jesus. Oh, nothing but the blood.